five, six, seven, eight.
Master and Commander. That's what I want you to call me from now on.
Yeah, I will.
Great.
Okay, great. Awesome.
Glad we established that. All right, here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Gilmore to Say with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara. I almost called you Master and Commander, but I was like, I'm going to mess it up.
Master and Commander. I would have loved that.
Yeah.
You would have lost me.
It would have been hard. I should have done it, but I was just like, I got to do it. Otherwise, yeah. It's like the word that gets me in is hi, Tara. Like,
yeah.
You know, locked and loaded, ready.
And it took you a while to get that one down. So.
I know. So if
we got to like keep it consistent. Fresh,
yeah. It would have taken me a while to get back to it.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
But as you can tell, maybe you can tell, maybe you can't, that means we're talking about Logan today.
It's true.
Which is why we got so dressed up and decorated to celebrate the best boyfriend.
Well, we're recording this right after our Galentine's Day live event, virtual event. And so Haley and I both still have our decorations up if you guys are watching us on YouTube. So yeah. It's very pink, very fun. Haley's got her Team Logan sweatshirt on.
I do. You know, what's funny. I came in and like some of the stuff had fallen down. And what fell on the floor is, if you're watching on YouTube, is this little Cupid cutout with Logan's face in the heart.
Very apropos.
That I had hanging up. I have little Logan's faces and little hearts hanging behind me. So
I love it.
I felt like I had to share. You could see him behind me if you're on YouTube right here.
It's true. He is there. That was my favorite part, is that you just had these cutouts of Logan's face. Yeah. All the same picture.
Yeah. It was kind of a last minute decision. So I didn't have like a lot of time to put too much like effort into it. Cause I was thinking about doing like a garland of him and like all different moments and scenes.
Would have been so fun.
It was really like probably 20 minutes before you called me that I was like, oh my God.
The best ideas come at like 20 minutes before you got to have everything ready, right?
So if I thought about it before, I probably would have put a lot more thought into it. But,
That's okay.
I think just the one is all right.
I love it. It really did. It was right there. You could see it. It was perfect. I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah. And I know this is a little bit after Galentine's Day. It's a couple weeks after Galentine's Day. But mm-hmm. for us, it's just a couple days. We had so much fun. It was like the best one ever.
It genuinely was the best one ever. I shared this on Patreon. I don't know if that episode is aired yet, because we also recorded our Patreon episodes very in advance this month. But my mom also joined us for Galentine's Day this year, last year. And she, of course, listened to one of our very first episodes, which was Galentine's Day in 2022. And she also agreed that this was easily our best one. So it was really exciting. We were so happy to be there with y'all. We just had a great time. It was so chill, so easy, so fun. Yeah, I loved it.
The second game that we played, or I guess it was the first game, but it was the guess what scene it was based on a picture of it and like guess the context and the episode name. That went over really well. I want to play that game again.
Yeah.
Which, like, you could really only play it in, like, a scenario where they can see it, so it really only made sense to do it live.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really make sense to do it like this on the podcast,
because no.
All the people listening to it have no context.
I was going to say, they would have to watch us on YouTube for sure, which is easy. I think for the most part, everybody should be able to access it through YouTube, but still... Yeah, we also like to make sure that every episode that we share both on YouTube and audio-wise can be amenable to both.
Yeah,
so,
for the most part, yeah. You're going to have to imagine what our backgrounds look like.
It's true.
Kind of like the picture you can paint for yourself.
Yeah,
it's true. You never actually see what it really looks like.
Well, speaking of Logan's face, that's what we're here to talk about today. We're rounding out our best of boyfriends trio, I guess, trio of episodes with the one, the only, Logan Huntsberger. Which I know you're very excited about. But before we get there.
I'm nervous.
Why are you nervous?
You know I always get nervous when we talk about him.
I know you do. It's only really the second time we've had a full episode dedicated to him.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting. But before we get there, I'm really excited for you to share the book club pick.
Yes. So I don't have the Where You Read I Will Follow book pick yet, because it's like halfway through February that we're filming this.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have the Reading is Sexy pick. And it's a little bit different than our other ones, but I'm still really excited about it. And it's I Didn't Know I Needed This by Eli Rallo, The New Rules for Flirting, Feeling, and Finding Yourself.
Mm.
And I feel like this kind of falls into, because like Reading is Sexy is like books that feel like Gilmore Girls. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like this as the idea of maybe like this is a book that like could have helped them or maybe helped them maybe avoid some mistakes. I don't know. But the inside description, I say inside because I opened the book and the description of it is inside.
The inside description.
The inside description. I didn't know I needed this as a dose of confidence every girl needs in her life. On her own terms. Eli Rallo is a social media superstar, a Carrie Bradshaw of the TikTok age, a true romantic at heart, and the best friend every young girl wishes she had. Eli is here to join the ride with you, kissing the frogs, sending and deleting the risky DMs, climbing down fire escapes, and making lifelong friends, all while navigating romance, falling in love with yourself, and learning that everything will be all right. In this earnest and vulnerable look at what it's really like to date as a young woman in the modern world of dating apps, rotating rosters, and social media snafus, Eli gives her rules for each stage of the game, tried and true tricks of the trade. I didn't know I needed this follows the natural life cycle of dating, from being single, flirting, and navigating the apps to going on dates, having sex, falling in love, and managing relationships to dealing with heartbreak, finding closure, and honoring your life. Touching stories of her own adventures and mishaps, Eli helps you navigate dating in a way that's frank, honest, funny, and relatable, sharing the tips and tricks to honor your life, make dating more fun, and choose you in ways you didn't know you needed. And I think that's, I just feel like that's something that maybe we all need, maybe the Gilmore Girls would need, maybe this feels like something that would have helped them in 2024 if they were who they are then now. Mm-hmm. And in the same way, I feel like it could help all of us. So it's our first nonfiction in Reading is Sexy, but I'm really, really excited about it because we had Eli at our live event in October.
Yes, we did.
And she shared the spiciest opinions on Gilmore Girls, which like a lot of them. Valid.
Yes, valid.
But if all goes according to plan, we'll hopefully have her on the podcast.
Yeah, we're chatting with her right now about having her on the show in April. So yeah, we're really looking forward to that.
In March.
Yeah.
We'll hopefully have her on. We'll talk about the book. We'll also talk about the Gilmore Girls opinions that she shared at the live event that a lot of people miss on pod here.
I'm so excited. This also just hit me as you were reading that description because she has been kind of self-proclaimed and also articles are starting to write this about her as the modern day Carrie Bradshaw. And so I have been thinking of inviting her on my podcast, which a lot of you know I'm doing a Sex and the City podcast called And Just Like Her. And we are actually going to be launching that on March 7th. So this is kind of perfect that we're reading this book in March.
Yeah.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I'm excited to dive into her book, hopefully hear more from her about the book and about Gilmore Girls, which I feel like a lot of you will really either like totally agree with her opinions, see them and be like, no, or you're like going to be like adamantly like, no.
Hard pass, yeah. But that's what I love about her is that she's just unapologetically herself. And what my mom really loved about her when she saw her at the live show was that she felt like she gave some spicy opinions, but she had facts to back it up.
Yeah, that's she what came Mandy said.
Very, very equipped with reasons for the way she felt. And I love that. I love people who don't just like say chaotic things and then they're like, I don't know why I feel that way. Like she said, this is how I feel. And these are the reasons why I feel that way. And I was like, wow, yeah, I totally hear you.
And she was also like willing to like talk about it and like hear other things and like shift what she was thinking based on that, which like I love because like so many people on the internet have like really hard and fast opinions about things and like, no, not gonna change it. I feel how I feel. So I'm really interested to see how that translates into her book because I really love like the brand that she's created online.
Me
and the
too.
Things that she talks about.
Me too.
And a little bit of a cross collab for us. So we'll see what happens. Schedule permitting, weather permitting. Not weather. Why did I say weather?
Well, because the weather's been weird. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe like mental weather.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, the mental weather. We all have a little mental weather lives that we have to prepare for. It's true.
Yeah.
But we're really excited. We've been talking about bringing her on since we met her in October and she came on, you know, for our live show. We mentioned it to her at the end. We said we'd love to have you on. And she was like, full stop, 100%. And now that her book tour is kind of underway and she has kind of a grasp on that because we knew we were kind of seeing her and getting to know her right before she went on her book tour. We were like, let's wait and make sure that she kind of, you know, has a chance to do her thing and then we'll bring her on. So it's kind of the perfect time.
Yeah. So join us for the book club. We'll all read that together.
Yeah.
And we'll hear from her about it.
I'll be there for that one. At our Galentine's event, people were asking what the next book was that I was going to read with book club. And this is the one. So I'm really excited.
Yes. Yay. That's me clapping. Not very good at clapping.
We've established that Haley is a cheerleader clapper. Whenever we have to clap on the podcast, she always claps like.
Yeah, because we have to sync our audio and our video for our editor. So we clap. And I can't clap. I clap like Nicole Kidman at that Oscars, you know, when she, when her like.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
She kind of claps
like an the open Grinch. Palm?
Yeah, open palm.
I like that. She claps like the Grinch. Oh my God. She does? Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I just
fingers
that.
Sprawled, mm-hmm. splayed like it's, so.
It was like a GIF, a meme that was distributed for quite some time after that. And that's, I feel like I clapped like Nicole Kidman at the Oscars that one time.
So funny. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. So
anyway,
that was me clapping.
Now that we've gotten away from ourselves, clapping,
let's clap for Logan Huntsberger.
Let's clap for Logan Huntsberger. I'm very excited to do this. Here's the caveat that I will give before we get into this. I think a lot of my answers may shift after we go through the later seasons on Patreon.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. We're starting, I guess it's the end of April, like the last week of April that will be on episode one. Mm-hmm. I'm not excited for that. But
I know.
I'm excited to go through it.
I know. Yeah. I was going through this, and the thing is with Dean and with Jess, I did a lot of that from memory. Y'all know that the early seasons are my jam. There's not a lot of research I necessarily needed to do because I feel like my brain is like an encyclopedia of seasons one through three, yeah. Four-ish, and we're moving through four on Patreon.
Has been the research.
Exactly. The research. Whereas this one, you know, I was going through all of these, and we only changed one category because we – put it out there yesterday on our Instagram, you know, what other categories would you like to see for Logan? Because we did that for all the boyfriends. And there was one category that we changed and we swapped out for another category, which we'll share in a little bit. And I'm glad that we did.
With very good reason.
With very good reason. The other one, we would have had one answer and only one. But I was kind of going through everything and I definitely had moments, but I was like, are these moments that are actually my faves or are these just the moments that I remember because I don't know seasons 5, 6, and 7 as well as I know the early seasons. Yeah. So I'm really intrigued for us to maybe revisit this sometime after we finish on Patreon, the entire series, because I think that that would kind of be the most fair time to do it. But yeah, it was really interesting and I'm really curious to hear your answers on this because you know the nooks and crannies, like the just most intimate crevices of Logan Huntsberger on this show.
I do. Yeah. And I think that's why I'm nervous because like as I was going through these, I was like, is this going to be the moment that people truly understand the an unhinged level?
I think they already know, man.
I love this. I don't know. We're about to see.
I guess we're about to find out.
But I will say, I really do like the idea of you revisiting this in the same way that we did at A Gilmore Galentine, because we started with me re-listening to our episode from 2 years ago that Tara has never listened
to. I've never listened to A Gilmore Galentine from 2022.
And going through it and being like, what did you say here? And do you still feel the same? And I think that would be really fun after season 7 to do the exact same thing and go back through and be like, this is what you said in February of 2024, do you still feel the same?
Yeah, I think that all of these moments are moments I love, no matter what. They will always remain moments that I love. It's just moreover, like, are they actually my faves? I think that as we move through, especially seasons 5 and 6, I'm going to be like, oh, I love that. Add that to the list, you know?
Yeah. Can I tell you there's only one answer that I have from season 7 in all of this? So.
Yeah, there's only one answer for me as well. There was going to be two, and I'll tell you which one, but.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, there's really only one. I think it's from season 7. I think
Oh, no, I have two, but it's the same moment, so it really doesn't count. It's
okay.
Just one.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's get into it.
Yeah. So as we've started with the other two, we'll start with love language for Logan.
Yes. So I said that I felt like his the way that he gives and shows love was gift giving.
Mm-hmm.
And the way that he receives it is words of affirmation.
Ooh, interesting.
What did you say?
I said something along the same lines. I mean, I guess I don't really understand like the idea of love language too much. I really only know it like in like a conversational sense of like knowing the love languages. But I feel like we all have like almost like wound love languages and then like how we actually want to give and receive love.
Yeah.
And I think that and like maybe that's part of it. But I think that Logan's like wound love language is gift giving. Like, because like that's what he leans on. Like, he and Lorelai kind of have that conversation of like, she's not gonna, you're not gonna win her back in the same way that you get everyone else by giving them things, which he like does. He gives lots of gifts, and I think it's because he might not recognize that there's other things that he has to offer, like other ways that he can give love, because that's how he's always received love, I imagine.
Totally. Yeah.
The Huntsburgers don't seem like a very affectionate bunch.
They're very material.
Yeah.
They're so very materialistic. Like,
he doesn't see himself beyond that, so he gives love via gifts. But I think that like his healed one potentially is physical touch.
I was also going to say physical touch.
He is such a toucher.
He's a very physically affectionate person.
Yeah.
But I also feel like there's a little bit of that in like the wound component of him with the bridesmaids. He seeks out validation when he's feeling hurt and when he's feeling like he needs it in physical touch. The bridesmaids, case in point.
Yeah, exactly. Interesting.
But I think a lot of, not to generalize, but I do think a lot of men do that.
Yeah, yeah, I think so too. And like, there's women that do it as well. But
yeah,
like,
not to say there aren't women who do it, but I do feel like a generalization. We've been talking about this a lot on the Sex and the City podcast. Is that men tend to seek out more physical affection when they are feeling lonely, invalid, etc., insecure, etc.
Yeah,
than women.
Yeah, and it's not really love that they're looking to find now, is it?
I don't think so. Me thinks no.
But I agree that he receives it with words of affirmation, which is sad because it doesn't seem like his family offers up much of that either. Poor little rich boy. But truly, sad little rich boy, isn't he?
He sure is.
But moving on past the sadness of his love receiving and giving, is romantic gesture. I can talk.
You can. I believe in you. I know that you split these two in half because we had romantic gesture / grand gesture.
Grand gesture.
Because some of the things that I put here, I had a lot of answers for this. I had multiple.
Me too.
Because he is a big grand gestures guy, which is why I think gift giving is such a, and gift giving / acts of service, I guess, could kind of go and fall under the grand gesture, romantic gesture. So here are the things that I put, and I didn't necessarily split them up.
Yeah.
I had getting her the perfect dress in You Jump, I Jump, Jack.
Yeah.
That was very like grand gesture, not necessarily romantic. They weren't romantically linked yet at that point. I loved the way that he steps in when she's having that conversation and the party's over with that guy who's really creepy, and he kind of comes in and puts his arm around her and he's like, hey, thanks so much for waiting for me.
Chase.
Yes, Chase. Chase Bradford or something. No, Chase Bradford's the guy in Shall We? No, but his name is Chase something. And it's the same
or something name. Chase.
Jordan Chase. Because it is, yes, because it is the same name as one of the characters on Dexter.
Oh.
Random. But I always remembered that and I was like, weird. Anyway, weird connection. Jordan Chase, I believe, is that guy's name. Paying for the apartment for a year at the end of partings and saying the apartment is paid for, you don't have to worry about that, I think is so, so grand.
Yeah. Until he throws it in her face.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Birkin bag.
Yeah.
And saving the Yale Daily News and Friday Night's All Right for Fighting.
I just, when he like steps in and is just like,
takes over. Oh, I watched that whole scene today.
I adore.
I watched that and I watched Partings and cried.
You watched Partings?
Didn't watch the whole thing. No. Just watched that scene at the end when she's like, God. I got to get up. Shoes, coat. No shoes, just coat. And then she's like, I have to go to the airport. And he says, if you come with me, I won't get on the plane. And then I just started bawling.
Oh, man. We'll get there. But I divided them in romantic that is a word I can't say.
You are having a tough time.
Yesterday, I couldn't remember the word strawberry.
That is true. She couldn't.
This is not very word weak.
I have to tell you. So the reason we were talking about strawberries is because I had chocolate covered strawberries for Galentine's Day.
Yes.
And Brett and I ate those last night. They were so good. The pink one was my favorite. Yeah, the pink one was so delicious. And I just got them at the grocery store. I didn't go anywhere fancy for them.
Yeah.
And the other thing I want to bring up, if you're watching us on YouTube, you should be able to see my flowers in the background. Can you see them?
Yeah, I can see most of them.
So the reason that I got these, and you couldn't see them when I was filming for Galentine's Day, is because they have yellow daisies in them. So it's a combination of roses and yellow daisies. And I had gotten that as part of my decor. And then they weren't even on screen.
Aw.
Dumb. Wow.
I can see some of them. I can mostly see the greenery. I can see the stems.
Yeah, they're really pretty. Anyway, the chocolate-covered strawberries were great. But now you know the word strawberries, and today you will get the word gesture. I believe in you.
I will get the word gesture. I did split them up, but I don't actually think I needed to, like, looking at them. Mm-hmm. I guess I was thinking of, like, the grand, like, grandiose, like, because that's very, like, Logan Huntsberger. But I have two for romantic gesture. Because I could have listed a thousand
yellow daisies gestures.
Yeah, like truly, like one for each. I could have like plucked them all.
Yeah, he's a big grand gestures guy.
Yeah, and I was trying really hard. So with romantic, I put, which I also think is grand for him, admittedly, when he goes to Lorelai to get the letter.
Yes.
Because he understands. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's romantic or if that's grand. I think it's grand and tempting to be romantic, but I don't think the intention is romance. I think it's like he understands this is like his last ditch effort to win her back, and like I don't know, I couldn't figure out which one to put it under. I put it under romantic, but now I'm thinking about it, I feel like it's more of like grand, because what I put for grand was when she was having a hard time in the revival and the Life and Death Brigade.
Yeah, that is pals. A grand gesture.
That's grand. Like, that's huge. Mm-hmm. But under romantic, I also put when he asked her to move in with him. Like, she's just out there in the hallway, calls him, and he was like, move in with me. He's like, want to be fun? And she's like, fun? You know what I mean? And so I just, like, that just feels like, you know, she needs a, what does he say? You need a place. I got the space. And it just feels so casual when really it is just like, that's a big thing for have your partner move in with you, especially after like a little break, like the one that they had. But I just think it's cute.
Yeah.
The other one that I had is like one of my favorites. It's in Friday Night's All Right for Fighting before they save the newspaper when he's waiting outside the coffee cart every day. To try and win her back. And like at this point, he's already given her the letter and like he's just sticking around, and it could be termed in stalking for sure. But
sure.
No, but it's just, he gives her coffee.
I was going to say she makes him work for it and he shows up.
He shows up. So that was, I could keep going. I didn't even write that one down. So I need to stop.
Yeah. No, there are so many, because I think of the three boyfriends, I really do think he is the one that kind of shows up in that grand gestures kind of way. I think not only because of the age that they are at this point, you know, they're not in high school anymore, they're in college, so there's a little more maturity there, but also because of the means that he has. He has the ability to give her a lot of grandeur, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that that's like, there's some other ones that feel like maybe like more small details in terms of gestures, but I feel like I wanted to put them in other places rather than this one. But yeah, I could go on for forever here.
Totally. It's true.
So we can move on then to hug.
Okay, let's move on to hug. You posted this hug on our Instagram. And I believe that this is the moment. It's after she gets arrested, right?
Yeah. It's in
A house is not a home. And he comes over and hugs her. Because he didn't know about what happened with his dad.
Yeah, he's sitting there waiting outside her dorm because he called to find her at her house. And Lorelai says, your dad sent enough. And he's like, what did he do? Because he didn't know.
He didn't know.
They got arrested and she didn't tell him any of this. And so he comes over and...
That's the hug. That's the moment. That's
the hug. Oh, like that is... In Gilmore Galantine, the original one, we were talking about our favorite hugs, and I said that was my favorite. You said that it was the Lorelai Rory,
of course, forever and always
daughter, which is great.
Also, the hug,
yeah. But this one was just like, it's so comforting even outside of it. But I did have a second one.
And okay,
it is the one from season 7 in I'd Rather Be in Philadelphia when Richard's in the hospital and he comes up and he's great wearing his camel coat and he. Just a good one. Just a good hugger. That physical affection. He's a good hugger. Yeah.
I read a Reddit thread because I was like looking at their other hugs today, and there was a Reddit thread about how Rory is such an awkward hugger, but Logan makes her a good one.
Yes. Okay. She did give I was supposed to call him grandpa. She gave Richard a good hug after his mom died.
Yeah.
No, but the fact that we picked out that hug as a good hug is really indicative of the fact that she does not.
She's not a good hugger.
Yeah.
She's an awkward hugger. But she, yeah, Logan makes her a good hugger.
Yeah.
Because he's a good hugger.
Well,
he's a good hugger.
We said that Luke could be cured of his bad hugging if he hugged Logan. I was like, totally.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone needs a hug from Logan.
It's true.
You should just go around. I do. Jess, Dean, Lindsay Lister. She definitely needs one.
She needs a hug.
Yeah, we didn't define any rules for this episode. Do we need any?
I don't think we need any at this point.
Yeah.
I don't even know that we followed the rules in the first place. The other one.
Yeah.
Dean was the one we really needed rules for.
Yeah.
Because Jess and Logan, we can go on and on about how great they are for days.
Yeah. Except you did. In the last one, we didn't just keep to the good things. We had some caveats.
Yeah, I was an advocate for the devil.
You were. Wow. While also wearing your Team Jess sweatshirt.
I was, which no one saw because my video wouldn't upload.
I know.
We had to make it an audio-only episode last week, and I was so upset. But
yeah, which is sad because it's literally the same one that I'm wearing.
Yeah.
The Team Logan.
Same color and everything. Oh, so we didn't even talk about this at Galentine's Day or anything, but it was Super Bowl Sunday this past Sunday. And I spent the whole weekend with Brett's family because Brett's mom came in and she was the first person to order our team's merch. Literally, very first order came from Nancy. Aww. And she got a Team Jess sweatshirt in crimson. And so I had the Team Luke in crimson and I wore it because it was perfect for the Super Bowl. It was like the colors of both teams. I was personally rooting for the Chiefs, but, you know, I was like, depending on, you know, I'm just rooting for a good game and both of them are red teams. Yeah. So here we go.
Yeah, I hope everyone has fun.
I hope everybody has a good time. And so I wore it so that she could see what it looked like and she really liked it. So I'm excited for her to get hers. Yeah.
I can't. If you guys have gotten them, tag us on your pictures.
Please send us the pics. We want to see them.
I'm wearing the pepper, which is like charcoal gray on black. And I
love it. It's so good. But anyway, yeah. And I don't think we need any rules for this one. I think we're just here because the thing is that the last episode that we had about Logan, it was strictly really just comparing him and Christopher.
Yeah, it was comparing.
And so this one's just a love fest.
Yeah.
Which is perfect.
Maybe we
for
just
you.
Don't compare him to anyone.
Great. That's the rule. That's and the we rule. Haven't done it so far. I don't think.
Yeah. No, we just named him the best hugger in the series.
Yes, we did. Haley, I feel like most of our followers already know that we don't really drink alcohol, but we do love a fun beverage.
Oh, we do. Both of us think a fun beverage and a chill night is the epitome of a good time, especially when that drink is a recess mood, which is a delicious sparkling water infused with functional ingredients like mood-lifting magnesium and stress-balancing adaptogens, so you can relax without the alcohol. I drink mine every night while reading, of course. Tara, tell everyone how you enjoy yours.
Honestly, I usually drink mine while we're recording the podcast. It's my favorite way to enjoy a recess.
And all of our besties can get 15% off the Recess Mood Sampler Pack at takearecess.com/GTS.
Recess Mood is made with real fruit and comes in four delicious flavors like strawberry rose and raspberry lemon. But my personal favorite is the grapefruit tangerine. And with only 20 calories and no added sugar, it's the perfect way to chill.
You deserve a healthier way to unwind. Head to takearecess.com/GTS and get 15% off Recess Mood, your go-to alcohol replacement. The next one is Kiss. I'm interested to hear what yours is.
This is, I kind of had two for this one, but the first one that came to mind is also an answer I have for another new category that we added, but they're Kiss and Partings where he says, I love you, Ace.
Oh, stop. That is so good.
It's so good.
With the little laugh.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to cry. But I also love the kiss after he saves the Yale Daily News. In Friday Nights Are Out for Fighting.
Also a good one.
Also a good hug when they jump up and they hug each other. But this, A House Is Not a Home hug felt very intimate, whereas the celebratory hug in Friday Nights Are Out for Fighting was great. But then they have this intimate moment because she says, I'm sorry that we didn't get our date. And then he pulls out the takeout bags from the drawers. And I was like, you suave devil.
The glasses, the burritos, it's just like, oh.
I know. It's so good. And she kisses him so intimately in the middle of this very public space. And yeah. I just thought that was a really, really
especially after
gift.
He had been trying to win her back and mm-hmm. like really just proves that he can give her as many gifts as he wants to, but it's really like the effort of being there.
The way
really,
he shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
What was yours?
Should we both just cry?
Yeah, let's just cry for Logan.
Let's just start crying.
Listen, y'all know I am a Jess girly through and through, but the way that my heart beats for Logan Huntsberger is...
He's just romantic.
He's just so romantic. I am so intrigued to see how Brett likes him.
Ooh, I don't think he will.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
I have to say... And I don't mean this in a bad way, because I know that Logan can sometimes be painted in a negative light by the fandom. But there are some ways in which Brett reminds me of Logan in some of the ways he shows up. Yeah.
Like when he shows up with burritos.
Sometimes he shows up. He's just – Brett can also be like a romantic gesture kind of man. And so yeah. I don't think that it's like on the scale that Logan is, but he is very good at –
His father isn't like a multimillionaire.
Not that I know of, but I'll ask next time I see him.
Yeah, next time you're down in New Orleans. That's a really good dinner conversation.
Yeah, so Billy.
So Mr. Brett's dad.
Mr. Brett's dad.
What is your financial worth?
Please show me your papers. Yeah. Show me your statements.
Yeah, that's anyway, really a green flag for you.
I'm very excited for him to meet Logan just because I'm intrigued to see how he likes him. He doesn't understand why I love Jess, and he doesn't understand the Dean hate yet because we're only like a couple episodes into season 4.
If you're not understanding the Dean hate and it takes the cheating to get it, I'm not sure. We said we weren't going to compare Logan to anyone, but we didn't agree that we wouldn't compare him to Brett.
That's true. Oh, no, I've broken the rules. Okay, let's keep going.
Okay, my case, I have two. Mm-hmm. The first one, well, I'll say the second highest one, which is in Driving Miss Gilmore when he gets out of the hospital and he tricks her into kissing him because she's being like mother hen, like helicopter parent, which like she's never been before in her life. And he kisses her and says, thanks for being the person I want to get out of the hospital for, which is just one of my favorite quotes as well.
Cuties.
But it's not in my favorite quotes, but I wanted to say it. So there it is. But my actual favorite one is in Bridesmaid Revisited when he's leaving to go to, the rehearsal dinner for Honor's wedding. And she's going to that paper panel where Leslie Odom Jr. is on the panel.
Mm-hmm. Gotta love it.
And yeah. He leaves kind of in a huff, but then he comes back and she said, did you forget something?
And he kisses her. Great moment.
Great kiss. And he says, you look incredible. Knock him dead and leaves. And I'm just like, oh, good one. Very good. Very swoony.
He is so swoon. Yeah. This man.
He's so swoon.
Can we say that? Last,
yeah, we can say that. His last kiss with her too in the revival. Mm. When they like... plan for it, they're like deep breaths, and he says so, and then he like tips the hat on her head and walks out, and that's the end of him. I'm sure he goes on living, but that was the end of him in the show. I'm
sure he goes on living. Well, I hope so.
Yeah, well, he's fictional, so
it's true.
Really took a breath to begin with.
Yeah.
But yeah, that one, just there's so many I could keep going, but I'll stop and we can move on to date.
I already told you what my favorite date is. I think I mentioned it in the last episode, but that date where they're on the rooftop and he surprises her.
Yeah. No, I think we talked about it in Gilmore Galantine.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
I love that date.
Yeah.
I love that date so much. And I think that's my only season 7 answer.
Yeah. It's such a good one.
It's in The Great Stink. It's so good. Like, that is my fantasy. I love being surprised in ways like that.
Especially when she thinks he's in London.
Like, literally, if there's a way to make me cry, it's stuff like that. When someone is like, wow, you have to go and see this. Go look at this right now. She's like, okay. And you're like begrudgingly going upstairs. You're like, why do I have to look at this thing?
She's been studying all day. She's tired.
Yeah. I love surprising people that way. And I dream of the day when I can be surprised like that. I don't think I have been so far. I'd have to think about it really hard. But I just think that that's so a swoon, like big fat swoon.
So swoon.
If my partner was away and like I was missing them, but kind of accepted that they were away and they're like, yeah, you've got to go look at this right now. And they were just there with a beautiful like rooftop date waiting for me,
like a whole spread from the toppest place downtown.
I'd be undone.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, same.
That is a lucky woman.
It's so good. And he's only in town for what, like 36 hours?
Yeah. Barely any time at all. And he pulled that out. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So good.
What about you? That's like a really good one for sure. But I said the serial date before they actually start dating in Pulp Fiction.
That's a good one.
It's not a serial date, but they are coming
where they go
back
to get the cereal. Yeah.
Yeah. He breaks into the dining hall and she has no idea how he has the key. And she gets Cocoa Puffs because she's never there early enough. And she goes, I knew they had Cocoa Puffs. And he said, go on, Ace, get your Cocoa Puffs.
It's so cute.
But it's just cute because he like, I don't know. Like, is that illegal? I don't know. He had a key.
He got the key. She wanted to swipe. It was so funny.
Yeah. Like, it's so cute.
I know.
And they have like a lot of cute dates, but
they do.
There's something about that one that really gets me.
I know.
Also, I think I talked about this in a Gilmore Galantine because I just listened to it the other day. The original episode from the fourth episode we ever did. Which I mentioned this in our event the other day that I had never thought of it like this. Which if you binge listen to our podcast from the beginning, because someone mentioned the other day that they like couldn't stop listening to it, you're just very quickly listening to us become friends.
It's
and
true.
Like that made me like tear up because our first Gilmore Galantine, we were like, this is our first ever Gilmore Galantine as friends. Like, we still didn't know each other that well.
No, we didn't.
But, like, the quicker you listen to it, the faster we become friends, which just makes me
I know.
Tear up a little bit.
I know. It's so cute. When you put it into perspective like that, I was like, wow, that's so true. You're basically listening to a timeline of our friendship.
Yeah.
When you listen to our show. Because we really didn't know each other that well.
Yeah.
What you mentioned in a Gilmore Galantine, though, was that you said at the time in 2022, you were, I think I said something along the lines of like, I have no idea what you're about to say. Whereas now I'm like, yeah, I think I could guess what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Actually, with these, it's a little challenging because I feel like, again, you know so much about Logan Huntsberger and his moments. And I know how much you like only zeroed in on those for such a long time that I'm like,
yes,
I don't know if I could guess what you're going to say because I feel like you have such deeper knowledge than I do on this subject.
And like the other thing is like it's not even like deeper knowledge, but it's more of like I hyperfixated on really odd things. Like later on, one of the categories, like you'll absolutely know what one of my answers are. One of my answers is. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's talking.
That's English.
That's English. That's talking. What?
What?
Okay, we're just moving right along. But you'll totally know what it is because you just know. But like, it's like there's like little weird moments. But the serial date, it was like the catalyst for a lot of fan fiction back in 2007. So that date always feels a lot bigger than it is in the show. Like it's such like a passing little moment after the intro that it's nothing big. But it was like opens like a lot of doors of possibilities of like what the date was like they just went on before this and then like what happens after.
Totally.
And like where it fits into everything. So like it always felt like such a big moment to me because like so much fan fiction was written around this episode or around that one serial date.
Yeah.
But
fine. Yeah.
But the next one is Gift.
Okay, so for Gift I have two, one of which we've talked about before and have kind of disagreed on. But the other is obvious, which I think is the Birkin bag. I think it's fun. It's, of course, like
it's
the
cute
pinnacle gift. I love the way she reacts to it. A bag. He's like, this is not just a bag.
Oh, cool. A bag.
Oh, cool.
Girl,
a bag.
It's a purse.
Yeah. But I actually thought that the rocket was really sweet.
Yeah.
And that's the one that you're not really a fan of.
Yeah, because it kind of comes out of nowhere.
It does. I wish it was a moment that we maybe would have seen between the two of them.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe was your qualm with it, is that it kind of comes out of left field. And especially because it's how we're starting season 7, it feels a little bit like, where'd you guys pull this from?
You know what it reminds me of is the horoscope.
Yes. It's very much in line with the horoscope. It's like this thing that we never ever saw that is kind of, it kind of carries a lot of weight. And, but we never knew about it before this moment and we never hear about it again, really. Well, Lorelai, I think, talks about the horoscope.
Yeah, at some point.
In the town meeting. Show him the horoscope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I think is in the same episode. But I Because it's the town meeting and written in the stars.
Yeah, with the flower shop owner and the candy shop owner, yeah. And they ran them out of town because they broke up.
Because they broke up, exactly. So I agree, but I did think that the way, like the, I liked the confusion of it. She's like, what the hell is this rocket?
What is this?
Yeah. And then she ends up doing all this research to find out and discover kind of why he left that for her. And I just think that it's a symbol of how they kind of intellectually line up, that he didn't just give her. I mean, the Birkin bag was a grand gesture, right?
Yeah.
But this was so intimate and specific to their relationship and almost like a riddle. And I don't know. I just thought it was cute.
It is cute. And I really do think my only qualm with it is that it kind of
comes out of
left field. Is based in nothing and then doesn't really go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the basis for her anxiety because he's like, yeah, I got you a ticket for Thanksgiving. Or Christmas, I forget exactly which one it was. But she's like, oh, because she was like, I am going to London. Like she was going to leave the next day in her mind. And she was like, oh, okay, you want me to come later, much, much later. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it is good. I like it. I like it, but I also don't like it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of how I feel about the distiller tickets.
Yes.
I like them. And the effort and but like the thinking context. Thinking about the background of Jess going to get the tickets and like all of that. And like really maybe for the first time taking something to heart that Lorelai has said to him.
Mm-hmm.
But then like the context of it. I'm like, yeah. So I feel like not to compare Logan and Jess, just comparing those two, my feelings surrounding those two things.
Totally.
But I want to see the Birkin bag just because like it's the Birkin bag. Like, yeah, of course. You know? But I really like when it's in, just like Gwen and Gavin, this is when he's trying to give Winter back and he does the coffee carts and the Harry and David baskets and he's just like throwing everything at the wall. And then he comes back to her with a letter from Lorelai and a box of donuts. And it's just something about that when they walk in and you literally see her apartment full of everything that he gave her.
And what works and it's almost is like a letter from her mom and a box of donuts after like, all these grandiose gestures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's when she says, leave the donuts.
I love that too. That's a good one.
And I just like the juxtaposition of like literally just like a room full of like Harry and David baskets and flowers. And it's really just the letter and the donuts. Off-brand Krispy Kreme donuts.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Yeah, just like a sweet little moment.
Yeah.
I feel like there's other things too, like the ball gown.
Well, the ball gown was the other thing I was gonna say. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because then there's like the camera with the pictures and the gorilla mask that drops off.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's just so many things. We could go through
all of them.
Yeah, because he really is a gift giver.
He's a big gift giver. That one, yeah.
So we'll move on to quote.
I kind of put this for another answer as well. I just think that the exchange between them in You Jump, I Jump, Jack, like nothing will be better than that.
It's so good. I put that for the banter.
That's what I put for banter as well.
Like the conversation between them and that, like I know every single word.
I know you do.
Thing that like between them, but especially when he's like, you're scared. And she was like, yeah.
Yeah, I just think that that is such a turning point for Rory's character. When she decides to climb up there with him, that is a massive pivot for her.
Yeah.
And what he says to her really speaks volumes about the relationship that they're about to embark on together. And this next, like these next few chapters of Rory's life, because you could break the era that she's with Logan down into so many different parts. And we kind of did in breaking Rory's character down. But I think that when he says to her, like, people can live 100 years without living for a moment. You climb up here with me. It's one less moment you haven't lived. I think that that is so powerful.
Yeah, that's just, like, such a good line. Like,
so good.
It's so good. Like, it really is, like, proof that, like, in that moment that, like, they really are, like, like at the same level, like of like, I feel like Jess could like banter with her, but like, I don't think he like connected with her.
Well, I don't know that he ever necessarily encouraged her to live in the moment. Like he allowed her the space to grow.
That's more of what I mean.
Yeah. He allowed her the space to grow in a very different way. And I think Dean allowed her space to grow in a very different way. But Logan, I think, was the very first person that encouraged Rory Gilmore to live and exist in the moment.
Challenged her.
Challenged her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think Jess challenged her, which is why she was so excited by him. But I think that I really think that Logan was the first person to look at her and be like, you're scared. And you're constantly thinking about what happens next. What's happening right now? And I think that's why he was such a great partner for her when they were together and why he enticed her so much. Because she had, of course, been with Jess, who excited her outside of her relationship with Dean. And Dean excited her in a way that was like first young love, a guy who expressed interest in her like she of never course. Had before. But and with Jess, it was exciting her to kind of push boundaries and, you know, live outside of this mold that had been created for her by the people in the town.
So much like her, but like different.
But so vastly different.
Yeah.
Whereas Logan, I feel, is the sweet spot between both of those things. There's a lot of safety and a lot of foundation there that ends up being built between the two of them while also, like you said, challenging her. And I think that's why I've said it before, I'll say it again, he was the best partner for her.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. I love hearing you say that. But I do like the idea of like, we're not necessarily comparing them, but it's more of like, I feel like looking at the boyfriends in terms of excitement for Rory is kind of fun because like we always look at them in terms of like their qualities and like that each of the boyfriends fit into her life in a particular way and time that made sense for her life at the time. But I also like that they fit into her life in what was exciting for her at the time. Like that's a fun way to look at it that I don't think we've ever like actually put words to before. Mm-hmm. That in You Jump, he was just, it was exciting, you know?
It was something very stupid, exciting.
Something bad for you, just something different.
Yeah.
Something different.
He was something different.
So was jumping off the scaffolding.
It's true.
That is what I have for banter. But for quote, it's, if you come with me, I won't get on the plane.
I mean, makes me cry every single time.
Yeah.
Like that is a dead stop. That stops her in her tracks when he says that.
Yeah.
Because she is insistent. She's like, I want to come with you. She's thinking about him, but also herself. She's like, I need to come with you. I need to see them. Like, I need to be with you until the last possible minute. I cannot be with you. And from another direction, she's like, great. I'll
wave to you at the medical detectors.
Exactly.
Medical detectors.
She wants to do that. I would do that. If Brett was leaving to move to another country, I would be like, I will literally be with you until they drag me away from you.
Yeah.
But him saying to her, like, if you come with me, I will not get on the plane.
Yeah. I'd be like, bet, I'm coming.
Great. I'll join you.
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. I know. Oh, that is just, that is very romantic.
Yeah. Another one that is like so niche is in also in Partings. Before Rory opens the door to the London party, he's with Colin and Fenn. And he says to them, You're worth at least a couple pages in my memoir, but as of right now, it is goodbye. I'm spending the rest of the night alone with my girl. But the way that he says my girl is maybe one of my favorite things that he says in the whole series. Just the way he says it.
I know.
It really gets me. I just love that. And another one, which also falls into another category that we have, which is when in But I'm a Gilmore, when they're at his family's house and he brings her a drink. And she says, oh, Logan, I don't think. And he goes, club soda ace. Something
you love
about
that line.
I just love the
you
way
you blush
that
every time
that.
He says it.
And I don't know why. It's really just him being like, I did not serve you alcohol. It's just so you have something to hold in your hand right now because everyone's like so awkward and weird.
Uh-huh.
But it's just something about that. I just like, I love it.
I know. You
Is
love that,
that
line.
Gift?
Is it a gift? Who's to say?
Who's to say? For quote, and then the next one was banter. I love that. I also love their banter in Pulp Fiction right before when he comes over and he's super jealous. Mm-hmm. And just like the way that they're talking to each other then. And he's in his dressed up like a boxer or whatever it is.
Yeah, he's dressed up like wearing. A boxer. Yeah.
Yeah.
With his gold robe.
Yeah. What a nice look for him. I didn't put it under outfits, but like it really could.
Yeah,
really
I could.
Go there.
I could put it there. Yeah, he looks so good.
Could put it there.
Okay.
There's a lot. I could keep going, but we'll stop there.
Yeah.
And speaking of Pulp Fiction, though, the next one is Look. L-O-O-K, Look.
The way he looks at her?
Yeah. He's so fucking jealous.
He is so jealous.
It's his own fault.
I love when he pulls her away and he's smiling at her. He goes, I don't like this. And I'm like, yeah. Of course you don't like this.
Yeah, and it's your own fault.
It's your own fucking fault. You did this to yourself.
Lay in the bed you made with the dead bride that you brought.
Lay in the bed you made, babe.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know. There's like a level of jealousy that is scary.
Oh my God. Dean Forrester. There's a level of jealousy. We talked about this in the Clara episode 2 years ago. There's a level of jealousy
with Clara and herself. Yeah. I was like, we had an episode about Dean's sister?
No, ma'am. We did not. Clara.
My favorite Clara.
You know that when we have an episode about Clara, we've reached the end of our rope on topics for the podcast.
You guys, please, please, please just force us off air.
Yeah, just
like
just
take away the mics if you guys are like, and today we're talking about Dean, sister, Clara. Like, you know that we're done.
You know we're out.
Just say bye to the both of us. Please stop listening.
Tank's empty. Get the big cane and just pull us off the stage.
Just turn off the light, drop the curtain.
Yeah, exactly. We're done.
Gil, no more to say.
Gil, no more to say. They have nothing left if they're talking about Clara Forrester.
Oh my gosh.
Ooh, anyway, with Clara and herself, we talked about how there's a level of like healthy jealousy that I think exists in a relationship where it's like, oh, that made me a little uncomfy because you are my partner. And like, I don't like the idea of somebody else, you know, getting in the way of that, you know?
Yeah.
But there's a line, right? And here, he did it to himself. I have no sympathy whatsoever.
Created this. Yeah. No
sympathy for him whatsoever. But I think it's really cute the way that he gets jealous.
Yeah, and it's like part of what's cute about it is like he didn't ask her. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like a matter of like she wasn't available. Like he just straight up didn't ask her because I think he brought to some degree, he's trying to not get too attached, but I recognize he probably recognizes that he is. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Wow, I should have brought her. Like I should have been the one to do this." And he has to deal with the consequences of the fact that Rory is not going to do that to Robert?
No, I love that she stood her ground there.
I know.
I would have had such a tough time. I would have been like, yeah, we can't let's do this. Literally go.
Yeah, and he was like, then let's go. And she was like, no, you came here with someone else. I came here with Robert. Ooh. Have a nice night. And it's like, but like the way that he looks at her before that, like kind of like across the room, like while she's with Robert and the way that he seeks her out. And then he finally comes over and he's like, I don't like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're kind of like, so good. Well, too bad, my bud.
Yeah. That's it's mine. A beautiful a moment. One. I do. I love the way he looks at her in Written in the Stars when he says, okay, put my number.
Like, I love that line.
The way he looks at her.
Don't put my number. Don't put my number. Okay.
Put my number. So
that's my room.
It's so cute. I also really love the way, and I have this moment for another category, when he comes in through the window at the end of Jews and Chinese Food.
Yeah.
And he says to her, like, I just want to make sure that you got home safe because I didn't get to say a proper good night.
Yeah.
And the way he's looking at her, because at this point they're not together, right?
Yeah.
She's just come from the awkward moment of, I like you. I like Logan. And, you know.
Just say I'm like any. She didn't have to say his name.
Just be like, I just see you as a friend. That's it. And she, like, they're very clearly not together yet. But the way he looks at her, I'm like, you want to be with this girl so bad.
Yeah.
She is so special to you.
Mm.
Just that look is like. I love it.
Yeah. To add another one, it's immediately after they agree to become boyfriend and girlfriend. Mm-hmm. He's like, I think I'm going to be an excellent boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like the way that he just is like, he's so giddy. Excited.
He's giddy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very cute.
It's very cute. Speaking of cute, the next one is look, which is L-E-W-K. And it's the first time in
the history of forever that you have said it without starting with a W. And I'm very proud of you. I don't know, but I was right there with you in the first one. We were in the Dean episode. Yeah. I was like, yeah, L-E-W-K.
Yeah. Look.
Look.
What is your look?
I said this in I think the Dean episode that I was going to put this. I love Logan in a tux. Logan yeah. in a tux is whoo, so good.
Nice. So nice.
So nice. And I wish we could have seen Jess in a tux.
I know. Have them all line up in their tuxedos.
I would have loved me some that. I really, really adore when he's in the tux in You Jump, I Jump, Jack. Is he in a tux in Wedding Bell Blues?
No, he's wearing he's in a brown suit.
Yes. But the tux in You Jump, I Jump, Jack.
He's wearing a tux in Bridesmaids for the
wedding.
Right,
for the wedding. Totally.
Yeah. And it looks like the same one. It's like very 2000s fit. It's not necessarily a 2024 fitted tux, but it still looks nice. I will raise you the tux because I wanted to put that. But I put the outfit from the night before, the safari party where they can't say any E's. And he's wearing like the linen, like white on white, like with the vest and the jacket. Like,
he looks so cute.
That is a cute moment.
He does look very cute. I also put just a general, anytime he's wearing the black leather jacket for me.
Yeah.
He looks so cute.
Yeah. That's,
and I do like love his camel coat. Look.
His camel coat. Oh, from season
from
7.
From season 7. I do like that as well. He looks really nice in that. But
yeah, I also like the look of when Rory's stalking him, and I think it's Norman Mailer. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. She was like, really? Because I have a lot of information on you. Like, he just looked really cute there, too.
Yeah, it's so good.
But yeah, I think it's like You Jump, I Jump, Jack. It's the safari in the tux. It's like so nice.
So just good.
Way to go. Way to go, costume department.
Proud of you.
So the next one is the one that we replaced because in the other, in Dean and Jess, we did Luke's diner moments. And if we did that for Logan, we would have one in Hey Bonnies.
Approximately one. The only time he's in Stars Hollow.
Yeah. Like,
not the only time he's in Stars Hollow, but the only time he actually like walks around Stars Hollow. Because we know
the only time he's like really in Stars Hollow proper.
Right. Because we know he goes to Stars Hollow to get the letter from Lorelai.
Yeah.
And we know that he goes there to ask for Rory's hand in marriage. He goes to the house. So like,
yeah.
He's been to Stars Hollow other times, but he's only been to Luke's diner once. And there was only one answer. And I was like, I don't really think this counts as a fave because there's only one.
I wrote it down and you were like, do you want to replace it with when like a moment when he says Ace? And I was like, yes, because I wrote down one thing and we're gonna only have the same answer.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so this is like use of Ace, the nickname Ace, which is just cute. I actually have an edit somewhere I'll have to go find where I edited together all of the moments that he says Ace in the series.
Really?
I couldn't find it. It's from 2021.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
Scroll back very far. But I also have all the times he says Rory because he says Rory a lot less than he says Ace.
He surely does.
But what is yours?
Well, this is actually a moment where he calls her Rory and he calls her Ace. And that is his parting line in Partings.
Yeah. I love you, Ace.
I love you, Ace. Oh, it is so good. Yeah. Rory, you come with me, I won't get on the plane. But then when he kisses her, he says, I love you, Ace. And just the way he says it, he means it with every ounce of
the
himself.
The smile, the little bit of the laugh. Like,
he loves that girl. One.
That one's on my list. I also, this is not an Ace. This is the use of Rory. But I like the use of Rory in Wedding Bell Blues when they're on the dance floor and he says, Rory. And she said, you call me Rory. He said, I want to be clear. And it's just like the recognition that that's like not what he calls her, which is just cute.
Very cute.
But like someone said the use of Ace, but you can't say it's your choice, Ace. And I was like, I don't think you guys know me. Like, I'm not going to use that one.
Yeah, it's like saying favorite Jess Mariana quote, but it can't be, why did you drop out of Yale? I'm like, that wasn't even the first thing I thought of.
That wasn't even it. Like, one of my favorite ones is one that, like, it's from the Pulp Fiction episode when they're in the dining hall and she leaves the like money on and he goes, Ace, come on. Like, it's just like the way that he says it. It's not like in any way like sexy or like, you know, like endearing. It's really
very
just
playful.
Like, it's just kind of like goofy.
It's
almost
kind of goofy and silly, just like friendship.
Yeah. Like, and it's just like really feels like what that nickname kind of is, because it's like meant to be like Ace Reporter is kind of why he's calling her that.
Yeah.
Which I know a lot of people are confused where that nickname comes from, which they explain it.
Yeah.
Like, when I think it's Norma Mailer Pregnant. Mm-hmm. because that's the first time he uses it via IM. That's like another, oh, why did we not mention that for looks? When like they're glancing across each other when they're doing the IMing.
Well, so I don't know if you, looks. Well, I don't know if you included this in yours, but we also had smirk.
Oh, I didn't.
So smirk is one that I included because I know we included it for Jess Mariano, and the computer's moment is the one that I included.
I didn't, smirk. But I'll have the same one.
Yeah, that's what I put. I put the computers with a bunch of exclamation points next to it because it's only looks. It's only glances.
It's their glance bridge dinner.
It is so cute. I love it so much. I've been waiting for that category to come up to talk about this. And then I just realized that we kind of went past it. So that makes sense.
Oh my gosh. No, I didn't put that.
Yeah, it's such a good moment. I love that exchange between the two of them. So much.
Yeah. And I love that the first time he calls her Ace is like via IM and the newsroom. It's just the
first time.
But the other one is in You Jump, I Jump, Jack. But it's when they land and he says, "You did good, Ace." And I'm just like,
yeah.
But Partings was also.
Partings is for me just the.
I love you, Ace.
It's so good. He means that with every piece of him. I just love it. I love it.
It hurts.
It literally like
gut punch. Like, oh my gosh. There's so many more that I could say, but those are kind of like my top obscure. They're not like obscure, but like they're my not obvious ones. Yes. Not It's Your Choice, Ace, even though I do
love that moment.
It's Your Choice, Ace. Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite lines. The next one is Green Flag.
For this one, I put consent in all caps. In Jews and Chinese Food at the end where he comes in and he
asks her if he can stay.
Asks like, "Do you want me to go?" And she doesn't really answer. She just keeps kissing him and he's like, "Do you want me to go?" And she was like, "No, I want you to stay." And he's like, "Good." Yeah. Because if you thought climbing in that window was hard, we still don't know.
Is that an innuendo?
I want to say yes. One that none of us understood until we were
I didn't of understand age? It until question TikTok. Mark?
Like, yeah.
Fully like what 29 years old and someone had to explain it to me and I was like no you guys, it's because if you thought that climbing in that window was hard, it's even harder to climb out the window.
And I wonder if that was maybe the original intention, but God,
it's a first what an floor innuendo window. She lives on the first floor. What's he gonna do, like stub his toe? No. Well,
I don't know, but anyway,
just walk out the front door.
Regardless, this was one that you really opened my eyes to because you did a TikTok on this about Logan and consent. And I do think that this is one of his green flags, is that like he follows her lead, especially when they are unattached, like no strings. Yeah. He follows her lead.
Girls just want to have stringless fun.
Yeah. He says the same thing to her at Wedding Bell Blues. He's like, if we do this, like, I can't
right away.
Yeah. And like, I can't give you what I'm pretty confident a person like you wants from me. He's very direct and very upfront with her. And I think that that's a reason why I don't understand why Logan is so widely criticized by the fandom, is that they're like, oh, he's just a fuckboy and he, you know, kind of treats her like trash. He sleeps around with other women. And I was like,
again, this kind of people know a Logan. A lot of people have been hurt by a Logan who, like, a fuckboy who, like, was an unreformed fuckboy, like, that they were like, I can fix him.
Yeah.
And it's like, no.
No.
He was unfixable. And maybe, like, it's kind of, like, the idea that you get from him is that, like it's like Elle Woods throwing the chocolate on the screen. You liar! Like, it's like, I'm sure people, like, look at Logan and, like, he ends up being her boyfriend, but like that's what a lot of people want, but it's like the fuckboy is always going to be the fuckboy. So like all the girls watching it when he becomes her boyfriend are throwing the chocolate being like, you liar, like you're always going to be the same. So I think that's what I get from that. But like if we're looking at Logan the character, I agree,
he's very direct about what he wants. And I'm not saying that makes it right or it makes it wrong. It just wasn't
right, because I put that as one of like his green flags, is like he says what he means. Mm-hmm. Like he says, I can't do this because it'll be something right away. And she's like, I don't want something. I just had something.
And I think that in that moment, she was being truthful. I think she genuinely thought, like, I don't want anything right now. I do want to have stringless fun. I have been in a slew of relationships, basically with the same two people
for
the last 4 years.
The plot needs to be mixed up.
Yeah. And so she's thinking, like, let me just try something on that's a little different than what I'm used to. And the thing is that when she can't handle it anymore, she comes to him and she's very direct.
Yeah. In the same way that he was. That's why he's like, what's wrong?
Yeah.
Like, we've been doing exactly as I said.
Like, and she says to him, like, I'm not blaming you. I'm not upset with you. Let's just go back to being friends. And he's like, or we could be boyfriend and girlfriend. And she's like,
yeah,
okay. That's not what I'm asking for.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what he's used to, is people kind of trapping him after he explains what he wants. And so, and that's an assumption. I don't know. I don't know who else he's dated. But I do think that.
Or like his parents. Like.
Yeah.
He doesn't really get what he wants.
Yeah. But I think that Logan is a very direct person about where he's at in his life. And I'm not saying he's flawless. But that is a green flag about him, is that I do really appreciate that he is direct with Rory, because he knows her. He can see. He's like, I know that you are the kind of woman who wants a boyfriend, and I can't be your boyfriend.
Yeah, because eventually she comes back to him and she says, I'm a boyfriend girl. I have boyfriends,
boyfriend? Not escorts.
Not escorts. Yeah, I was like, what does she say? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a girlfriend girl. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, we're saying boyfriend too many times. But yeah. And then I think that's true in when he comes back in I'm Okay, You're Okay. And he's like, this is what I thought was going on. And it seemed to not be the case in your mind.
Yeah.
Because this is exactly how I thought. And I'm not trying to change your mind. But this is.
But this is what I thought was happening. I thought we were broken up. If I thought we were still together, I never would have done that.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people think of that as gaslighting. But I really don't think that was the case.
He's not trying to make her doubt anything.
No.
He's just exactly explaining his like side of the situation.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I like about him, is that he says what he means and he.
But I think you are right in that a lot of people have met guys like Logan in their life. A lot of women have been duped by or heartbroken over a person like Logan. And so it's very easy to attach your own experiences to characters like this, as we've talked about with many characters 100%. On the show.
Yeah.
And I think that that is a huge reason why he is a little villainized in.
Yeah, he's a genre of a man that like is not not really like,
not necessarily well loved.
Yeah.
But I think that, and we talked about this in the episode with Clara, I do think that he is very direct about what he wants and who he is, while also making sure that during this period of time when he kind of knows deep down that this isn't necessarily what Rory usually does, maybe, you know, at the time it is what she wants and what she's okay with, but this isn't usually how she operates. I love that every step of the way he's like, are you okay with this? Do you want me to stay? And she's like, yes, I want you to stay.
Yeah. And he repeats it until she says it back.
Mm-hmm.
So that or like it repeats it until she gives him an actual answer and doesn't just make him assume based on her body language.
We love a consenting king.
Yeah. And like, you can only imagine, because I think that a lot of people are like, well, that was just that one moment. You don't know what he did with other girls. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. But it didn't get brought into the story. Now you're bringing you into the story.
I was going to say, now we're
projecting. And that's fine. You can project into it and get from it what you want.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, but we're going to work with what we actually see take place in the
narrative. Story. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that that's true. I also like think that like the fact that like his father is the way that he is to him, it's kind of like crazy that he is the way that he is.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that you could take a lot of the green flags that we say and turn them red. Like, he's very direct with Jess.
He sure is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Asking him how long his book is.
Yeah. But we're here to talk about his green flags, not his red flags.
Yes.
So.
But I'm just saying you could go.
Oh, no, I know. Totally.
Like a little Beyonce hand.
Yeah. A little Beyonce hand.
But the next one is Lorelai moment.
I really love when he goes to her to get the letter. I really like a lot of his moments with Lorelai.
They're very few and far between, but.
But I also really love the moment when he calls the house and a house is not a home and is looking for Rory. And she kind of chews him out a little bit, like very passive aggressively. And he takes it in stride. He's like, I just want to let you know, like, I never would have let anything bad happen to her. And she's like, well, I don't believe you because you were literally there when she stole a yacht. And he takes it in stride. And
he was like, my dad's going to fix this. And she said, oh, your dad has done enough.
Yeah, I kind of love that he takes it in stride, because we've seen boyfriends in the past, both of the boyfriends that Rory has had, and I know I'm comparing them. Give me a point. I know that I'm comparing. I mean, like, I've already racked up so many points.
We've done it a fair bit.
But, you know, Dean sasses her, even though he goes on to build a good relationship with her. Yeah. Jess and Lorelai do not have a good relationship with each other, because obviously they started off on a very wrong foot with one another. And you could argue that Logan started off on a not great foot with her, too, because their first interaction is in Wedding Bell Blues and it's a little chaotic. But I even love that moment between the two of them where Lorelai's like, so you must be Logan. He's like, yeah. Nice to meet you, kind of a thing. And so I actually really like their moments together, and I wish we could have gotten more, because by the time we get to the kitchen scene in season 7, you can see that there is so much common ground there. And even the moment in Vineyard Valentine, when
that's my moment,
your favorite moment, the one that gets you today, riled up.
Yeah.
But I think that's a moment where Lorelai, I think deep down, knows that she and Logan could commiserate on so much. And like you've said in the past, these two just need to share a bottle of wine and commiserate about their lives, because they are two sides of the same coin.
They're both good huggers, too.
Yes.
They could really hug it out.
Logan and Lorelai are, in a lot of ways, the same person.
Yeah. And that's like really why I blew up on TikTok, was comparing the two of them, not to compare anyone.
Well, you also compared him a lot to Richard, which I think is a very, very huge part of why you blew up on TikTok. Everybody, including me, was like, whoa.
Yeah, like, because it's so true. But mine is the Vineyard Valentine. I love the letter moment. Like, when she's like, I hate your father. And he said, see, we already have a lot in common. Because he also hates him. Mm-hmm. But it's the Vineyard Valentine. When she sees it, because I think that Lorelai more than anyone knows what it's like to have horrible parents, whether her parents are really as horrible as Mitchum.
I was going to say,
I don't think so.
To say like horrible parents, of course, puts Emily and Richard in a category
with so different.
Mitchum that I think is very nuanced. Unearned. But I think that Lorelai knows what it is like to feel trapped by her parents, and to feel like she's under their thumb. And he feels the same way.
I think that she didn't really recognize it before, because like, she hates Mitchum, and she has heard from Logan that he also hates Mitchum. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that she is able to contextualize it, because I think like her burden of hating her parents to her feels so singular. She like kind of doesn't want anyone to relate to it. She really likes, almost like it feels, makes her feel like not like other girls almost.
Yeah.
But then when she actually sees Logan's dad, like Mitchum, getting in his face, like, you were supposed to be on a plane to London today. You weren't supposed to be here with your little girlfriend. Your guest can stay. You're leaving. Like, the whole thing. Like, even just the way that he comes in.
I know.
Mitchum Huntsberger, who are you?
You love it.
I love that line. But when she like is, they're like all packing up and leaving, and she asks if he needs anything, and it's like she wants to say something to him. Mm-hmm. Like, she wants to say something comforting, but she can't, because it's like, she knows, because she said, if there's anyone who knows, I forget what is like mean parents, or what the exact word is, but she says it's me. And he really doesn't want to relate to it, because he's obviously very embarrassed and very hurt, I'm sure,
of course,
and just doesn't know what to do.
And I think he's similar to her in the point you just brought up, that like, he also wants to feel like he's the only one who has this plan laid out for him. You know, I have one door and I'm being pushed through it. You try living without options. And I think that Lorelai and Logan relate in that way, and that they both think that they have it the worst.
Yeah. I would say I think that Logan has it worse than Lorelai, because
I agree,
like, broke out.
But I think that they both
have
the
same
mentality.
Burden, the
totally,
two of them.
Totally.
But I do like to think of that moment as like, maybe it's not the first moment that Lorelai looks at Logan as like, wow, I'm glad that Rory is with him. He seems like a good guy. I feel like it's almost like, wow, I'm glad that Rory is with him. He seems like he needs someone.
Mm-hmm.
And like, wow, I'm glad my daughter is with him, if only for that.
Very true.
It's like she sees him. And I think that that's what I hate about season 7 is they like didn't pick up that baton. And no. I feel like it could have gone really well.
I agree.
To have done so. But
I agree.
Because they're so similar. They just need to get drunk and have a hug.
They do. They just need to
Could
get
you imagine?
Have a little hug. They're both great huggers. Home.
Where you been? I was hugging your mom.
Oh?
Okay. We're all good now. We're best friends.
We hugged it out.
Yeah.
It's true. So that brings us to apology, which I had mentioned this to you either in the last episode or Gilmore Galantine, something that for me, the apology that stands out the most is when he comes back after the But I'm a Gilmore dinner.
Oh, yes.
And she's on the phone with her
mom. Favorite Logan moments.
I love when he comes back and knocks on the door after dropping her off and she's like, I think it's over. I think it's done. He's going to change his mind. This was so much for him. And then he knocks on the door and he's just like, I'm sorry.
But what always kills me about that moment is Rory opens the door and she goes, is everything okay? No, Rory. Everything is not okay.
Were you just in the same room?
Did you go to that dinner? Like, yeah. I literally can't wait for season 5 to get to that moment because, like, yeah. Rory.
Girl.
Are you joking?
Yeah.
Is everything okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't even acknowledge it. Thank you. Thanks, Logan.
Yeah. Thank you for not even entertaining that.
Yeah. He's just like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
It was a very tough evening for me. And he just like admits like he didn't handle that well.
He didn't. But also he handled it with the tools that he had, you know, like
yeah.
he was just kind of reeling afterwards and was like, yeah, I'll call you. And just is like very much in his own headspace only yeah. to like have an epiphany and turn around. And like that's on growth, in my opinion,
yeah.
is him showing up for her the day that he tells her, I'm going to be your boyfriend. We're going to make this work.
Yeah.
And instead of sinking into the norm of what he would usually do and the way he detaches from women, partners, anything that's intimate, he like wakes up and is like, no, this is the person that I'm choosing to be with. I just made this choice today. And on the first day, I'm going to detach. No.
Yeah.
And he turns around.
It's a big day for him. It's a big yes. day of growth for Logan Huntsberger.
He owns his choices. He owns what happened with his family and says like, that's not me. That's not what I'm going to allow to infiltrate yeah. this relationship. And by behaving the way that I am or the way that I just did and walking away and letting that be the way that we end the night, I'm allowing them to infiltrate our relationship, which is not
exactly.
what I'm going to allow. No.
Yeah. And I think that that's so like when he walks away, it's almost like you think about what his thought process was then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, well, I'm going to end things with Rory Gilmore because it's going to hurt her to be with my family. And I'm just going to date someone they want me to date. And I'm going to continue the life that I had before until they pick someone for me that is suitable, like that Fallon girl.
Because I'm not worthy of someone like Rory Gilmore.
Yeah. And I'm just going to continue on this path that they made for me. And he turns around and he's like, no,
mm-mm.
I'm going to make my own choice here because there's one door and I'm being pushed through it. But it's a little escape hatch and its name is Rory Gilmore. So I'm going to go back.
Or I'm going to hold her hand as I walk through this.
Yeah.
They didn't tell me how.
They only gave me one ticket.
Yeah, exactly. I can get two tickets.
Yeah, I can ride this ride. I've got a lot of money. I can get two tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he says, I'm sorry. And
yeah.
Gonna take her to dinner. And Lorelai's like, I heard that, but confused. But if she had been there, she'd be like, oh yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Whoops. Sorry, Logan.
Yeah. 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 The way that she reacts to it is very interesting.
Yeah. Cause she only saw him at Wedding Bell Blues when they were macking. And the next time she sees him is How Many Crowpogs when he's thieving.
Well, in between that, she sees him in what is it? Jews and Chinese food? No, it's
she says
I'm
at Pulp Fiction on State Street.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw you on State Street with.
So you saw me on State Street with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it makes
anyway.
Sense. Not to end on a bad note. Oh,
no. Sad. I also think an apology that you could argue is the way that he shows up in. What is it? Just Like When and Gavin, when he starts bringing all of the fanfare.
I think he shows up in the perfect dress.
Yeah.
And then Just Like When and Gavin is when all of the things start appearing.
Yeah. The coffee cart. Because the thing is that he thinks that it's going to be easy. And yeah. I appreciate that Rory stands her ground like we talked about earlier in the episode, and that he realizes, oh, it's not just going to be me, you know, showing up at the coffee cart and saying, you know, oh, I thought you might be here, and charm his way back into her life.
Yeah.
He has to actually go through the motions, go to her mom, bring a box of donuts and, you know, wait it out.
Yeah. Like he really, he gets her. And I think there's like a level of it. He got her before they broke up, I think. Or in Rory's mind, they did not break up.
Mm-hmm.
But he understood her, but he still was like seeing her through a lens of how he saw everyone else. And I think afterwards he, especially with the help of Lorelai, was like, this is different.
Mm-hmm. No,
I
agree.
And it'll feel different if you treat it like it's different.
It's true.
And that's Logan.
And that's on Logan Huntsberger.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't go as unhinged as I thought I would.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
I loved all of your answers. I thought they were very dignified and not unhinged at all.
Yeah. Someone was like, ooh, talk about the shirtless scenes. And I was like, admittedly, in like TV and film, those aren't the moments that I'm like, that I find the most fascinating when it comes to like romantic moments.
No, those are the moments that really... I scream for in the middle of the Super Bowl halftime show when Usher, you know, takes off his shirt.
Oh my God. We have not been able to stop singing Usher this week. Like, what a performance. What a man. Like,
what a man. What a man. What a man. That was. Yeah. We were screaming. Me and my mother, Mama Lou, at Brett's apartment, just like.
I just couldn't bounce with me. Like, I just couldn't stop.
I could not stop. It was so good. Alicia Keys, like.
Oh, my gosh. On the keys? Way that
he. Oh, the way he hugged her. I was like.
I know. She's someone's wife.
That's someone's wife. But also, should we all be watching this?
And Ludacris.
Lil Jon, all of it. All of it. I was like. I.
But this is what we were talking about. It's like, why did I know every single word to all of his songs from middle school? And I even talked to my mom. I was like, why did you let me sing Confessions?
Yeah, why did I.
Just when I thought I said all I could say, my chick on the side said she's got one on the way. Mom. She was like, I don't know. You were just singing it. You didn't know what I meant.
You didn't know what I meant. Exactly. Oh my gosh. It was so good. But like literally just memories unlocked. Like he came on the screen and he started singing and I knew every fucking word.
Yes.
I was just immediately back in middle school.
I know.
Listening to my boo on my iPod. On my iPod Nano.
Oh, of course. Oh, my God.
It was so good.
Shuffle, if you will.
Oh, so good.
Or, like, when
Ludacris
came on, I was like, wow. Like, Ludacris fill cups like double Ds. Never knew what that meant as a child.
Nope. Never knew.
Like, crazy. I actually, admittedly, I still don't know what that means.
That's all right. We'll explain it to you when you're older.
No, we'll fill cups. I know what I don't know what that means.
We can look it up after this.
Okay. Do you know what it means?
Not really.
Okay. Well, that's what this podcast is about now.
This is about discovery. It's about discovery and Ludacris.
Yeah. This is a Ludacris podcast.
It's
Ludacris
true.
Ludacris to say.
Yeah. Anyway, it was so good, but those are the moments I scream for.
Yeah.
In the Super Bowl halftime show, but not necessarily on Gilmore Girls.
No.
Like, there are moments that, of course I love, but, like, I love Logan Huntsberger for so many other reasons outside of just his, like, how cute he is, because he's so cute.
No,
all the boys are cute.
Yeah, they're all cute in their own right.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
But I'm just really glad that I'm just really glad that we were able to talk about his good qualities in this episode, because I know that in the last and only real episode we did about Logan in his entirety, we did a lot of comparison, like we were mentioning earlier, less like pointing out his good attributes, his good qualities. And I remember after doing that episode.
Celebrating
him, yeah. Yeah. And I remember after that episode, someone being like, I want to hear more. And I was like,
got it.
Well, what do you want to hear? Because he is oftentimes compared to Christopher. That's a huge, huge reason that his character kind of gets picked apart a lot is because he is oftentimes
and
compared.
Amy was the one that did that. And I think it's like simplified to that one moment of like Rory's dating her dad. So like Logan is always going to be Christopher.
Yeah.
But Logan is also Lorelai and he's also Richard. But like when you like really think about it, as we did in that episode, he really is a lot like Chris.
He's very representative of the Christopher type character in Rory's life. And it's funny, we had planned out our entire trajectory for the fall back in the summertime last year, and that was around the time that the strike happened.
Yeah.
And right as the strike was happening, our very next episode was going to be a Christopher and Lorelai episode, and we didn't get a chance to do it, but now we are finally taking the opportunity to talk about Christopher and Lorelai.
And we'll have more to say on that in the next episode.